Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and we are going to talk today about messaging. What exactly is messaging, and how does it affect all of us? Well, let's take a look. Recently, we saw the courts in Texas. Texas has a law signed by Governor Abbott, the heartbeat law. Now, we don't get into abortion too much here on this show because it is very controversial in the fact that it creates discord and people are vehemently opposed on either side. You're either pro-life, protect the baby, or you're pro-abortion. You want to be able to do what you want with your baby. And there's no in-between with the groups. We hear that there's actually a majority who are pro-life, but they don't seem to have any power to do anything. Well, the messaging that's coming out, and this is where I think the pro-life side goes wrong. Now, me personally, I believe that life begins at conception. What else is it? When you join, the sperm and the egg, and it comes to life, and it starts to create cells, and it starts to split and double until it creates the cells that it needs, like the heartbeat, usually by 6 weeks, and then the heart starts beating, and the baby is forming, but it's alive, right? It's not alive, it's alive. So that is life. Life begins at conception. Now, I'm going to see the other side that says, well, it's not really alive until it can live on its own. Until then, it's a part of the mother. Can you make that argument? I think we have to be honest with each other and say people can make that argument. It seems to sound reasonable, and that's the messaging. It has to sound reasonable. And as long as it sounds reasonable, then it has validity. Well, is it actually reasonable? I mean, what else is it other than life? I'm trying to figure this out myself. I'm not a woman. I'm not going to carry a baby, right? It's not my body that's going to carry the baby. It's a woman's body. It was my wife's body. It's my daughter's body. But I think where we go wrong with the messaging is that our friends on the left who are pro-abortion, and first of all, that's what they are. They're pro-abortion. You know, their messaging, though, is to conceal that they're pro-abortion. What they say, then, is they're pro-choice. You see, so you change the words, and the words are messaging. So if you change the words and you say we are pro-choice, we want to choose to have the baby or not to have the baby. Well, how do you argue with that? That's, that makes a good case. You're pro-choice. Aren't there a lot of people that are pro-life that would also draw the line at, the health of the mother? If the mother's health was failing because of the pregnancy, what do you choose? Do you choose the person then, or do you choose the baby? Right? Well, even the church will say, when it comes down to the life of the mother, it's acceptable to choose the mother. Okay? But the reality is, it's in the messaging. So pro-life, when people that say they are pro-life, that is, that's all-encompassing. What they mean is that life that starts to grow at conception, like I said, as I believe, that life starts to grow, it is a person. It is a human being. It's another soul from God. And it is growing inside the mother, as it was designed to do. So pro-life is not only a reasonable messaging, it is also a true messaging. Aren't people who are pro-life, really, they want the baby to be born, and they say, if you don't want the baby, put it up for adoption. Now, I know people say that's too hard. People can't do that. It's easier to kill the baby, and then you don't have to deal with it. But if you look at statistics show us that many, many, many women who have abortions, later in their life, they regret that decision. Especially if they have other children, they look back and they think of that. I know women who know the birth date of the baby that they aborted. They know when that birth date would have been. So the argument gets caught up in not about the pro-life or pro-abortion. Our friends on the left twist it around, and they say it's the mother's choice to make. It's her body. Okay, now, well, that's a reasonable thing to say. It is her body. There's things going on in her body. Absolutely. You know, if she had if she had cancer in a lung, she would go in and make a choice to decide to attack the cancer, remove the cancer, remove the lung, whatever, to protect herself. So I agree. It is a woman's body, and it is in her. This is where the messaging goes bad. Our friends on the left are very good at stealing the language and stealing the words. So therefore, they say pro-choice instead of pro-abortion. Because if they said pro-abortion, then people who are kind of on the fence might be really uncomfortable. Because they would be forced to look at it beyond the messaging, which makes perfect sense. Pro-choice. Who wouldn't be pro-choice? You get to choose things, right? It's your body, choose. But if they had to say pro-abortion, that might be too difficult to say, and it might change people's minds, and therefore they don't want to do that, so they change the wording. All right, so when it comes to the messaging, where I think our friends that are pro-life go wrong is that they don't ask a simple question. What about the baby? It's really as simple as that. What if it's a female baby that's growing inside that mother? Does that baby not have rights? See, when you go down this rabbit hole, you start to fall into, intellectual conundrums. Because one thing leads to another, but logic, if we use logic, logic will easily clear most of it up. All right, so when we say, when does life begin? Life doesn't magically happen in week 12 or week 7, all of a sudden the baby's alive. Reality, medical science, you know, follow the science, tells us the baby is alive when the sperm and the egg connect and it starts to multiply, is now a living creature that's going to go from 2 cells to millions and millions and millions of cells as a fully formed human child. That's the science. And people who don't want to see that, don't want to hear that messaging, because if you say it's a baby, if you say it's a baby, then it's harder to say, well, we should be able to just kill it. Now, Ed Koch, the former mayor of New York City, Ed Koch was a liberal. He was a left-wing guy, pretty good mayor of the city. He was also very honest. Ed Koch came out and he said, hey, listen, let's be honest. It is a baby. That's what's in there. It is alive. And what we're saying is that the mother should have a choice to kill the baby if she doesn't want to have the baby. Let's be honest. And that's what he said. And I found that refreshing in that he peeled away the arguments, the messaging, the false messaging to it. And then people have to make that decision. Okay? So I've seen some things recently that have got me thinking about this. First of all, the Texas law. Now, the Texas law says when there's a heartbeat, you can no longer have an abortion, because what has a heartbeat? A lump of cells or a living creature? And I think that's where the left and the right here are having this argument, because if that is let to stand, that kind of changes the paradigm, doesn't it, of when life begins? Because no court has come out and defined when life begins, because that would settle the argument. If the Supreme Court came out and said, we have determined that the baby is not alive until the 29th week. Well, then if it's not alive, anything prior to that, you could do. If they determined it's not alive till it's cut from the umbilical cord and breathes on its own, that would give you abortion after birth, right? Because the umbilical cord is still connected at birth. If they were to say life begins at conception, now that baby is a person and therefore would have rights. And this is where I think we've shied away from getting to that point, because it would be definitive. So if the court came out and said, life begins at conception, that is a human being, and therefore it has rights. And the right to what? Life, liberty, and happiness. Life being the most important. Now, what do we say? What do I say to my wife and to my daughter as a man who can't get pregnant? What do I say to my wife and my daughter to tell them, well, if you get pregnant, you have to stay pregnant and give birth to this baby? Well, that's a messaging thing, isn't it? That's a messaging thing. And I think our friends on the left make it sound like every woman wants the right to terminate their pregnancy and kill the baby if that's what they choose to do for any reason. Doesn't matter. It's their body. They can do whatever they want, whenever they want. That's the argument that's made. So what do I say to my wife and my daughter? Am I telling them what to do with their body? If I say the baby, it is a baby and it has a right to life. I guess to an extent, not men are saying that, but humanity is saying that. If it's a baby, it's a human being, it has rights. It's rights under our Constitution, rights by God's law. Then what about the baby? What about the baby? And I know this is very difficult. If my daughter got pregnant and she didn't want to be pregnant, because you know what? A baby does interfere with your life. Unless you are ready to have children, if you are ready to dedicate your heart, your soul, your finances, the resources, every moment of your life to properly raise that child, then it's going to be very, very difficult. There's no doubt about it. Having a baby will change the course of your life. It will change your lifestyle. It will change your goals. It will change your opportunities. There's no question about it. So I could see a young girl didn't mean to get pregnant, got caught up in the heat of the moment with a boyfriend, and next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire, like they say. You know what I mean? Life takes its course, and there's a pregnancy. Now, my daughter, who wants to go on to a career, doesn't fall in love with this young man, whoever he is. And I'm not really using my daughter as an example, but it's possible, right? It's possible for anybody to have this happen. This young lady finds herself pregnant because she had a sexual encounter with a young man that she liked for the moment or for a long time, whatever. And now she's pregnant. Well, if we say she can't have an abortion other than if her life is in danger, because we agree that the baby in her is a life and it does have rights, and terminating it, killing it, is inappropriate. That does put her in a very, very difficult position to have to do something for 9 months of her life and probably change her plans on everything. You know, she was planning on going out and partying and having fun with her friends and having a career. Maybe she wanted to have babies when she was 30, not when she was 20. But all of that changes if she has to have the baby. So when we look at that argument, and this is where people separate the baby from the mother. Because if we see the baby as a individual human being, then we using the Ed Koch reality and clarity to say it is a baby and you should be able to choose to kill it if you want. Psychologically, I think that is probably too difficult for most people. Although they know that that really is the result. What else when you go in and terminate a pregnancy? You what are you doing? Well, if we maintain the terminology and we say it's a lump of cells, then you're simply clearing out a lump of cells like any other lump of cells. If you had a lump of cells on your liver, you would cut them out and you would be fine. Well, if this lump of cells is simply that, a lump of cells, then there's no responsibility to it. There's no guilt for doing it. You're simply doing it because you made the choice to do that. If, on the other hand, it is a baby, a living, breathing creature, and for many people believe it's a creature of God, a child of God coming to us from the divine, then to kill it has a lot of negative ramifications. Now, if you are going to die and the doctor says it's the choice between you and the baby and you choose yourself, that's okay. Even the church says that. But if it's a matter of it's inconvenient, I wanted to go to college, I wanted to go to Europe. I wanted to party. I wanted to go with my friends. I wanted to travel around. All these other extraneous things that you want to do with your life, which are absolutely legitimate for everybody. But the reality is, it affects another person. So that's why they can't say it. Their messaging has to be is that it's not another person. And the Texas law takes us down that road a little further. It's gone from where they have abortion after birth. Can you imagine that? This is how far we've come. To abortion after birth, killing the baby after it's born. Now the Texas law drags it back to once that heartbeat starts, it's a person. We're going to start with that. We maybe can't get you to the point of at the moment of conception, but when that heart starts beating, that is an independent human being, and therefore it should be protected. And that's where the question, what about the baby, comes from. So as a man, I'm conflicted, having women in my life that I love dearly. But it's a myth that every woman believes that she should be able to kill her baby if she wants to. That's not true. There are millions and millions and millions of women who understand and believe that it is a baby, and they don't have any right to kill that baby. They can do things to prevent themselves from getting pregnant. And if there is an accident and they get pregnant, they didn't take the right kind of care, whatever, then their responsibility is to carry that baby to term. And then if they don't think they can take care of it, they don't have the means, whatever, put it up for adoption. And then they have to have to deal with the pain of knowing that their child is out in the world, and maybe their life circumstance changes, and they say, I wish I had that baby. Well, that's what happens sometimes with abortion. Lots of times, women later on go, oh my gosh, I wish I had that baby. And they know the baby's birthday. So my point being, this is not easy. But the reason it's not easy is because of the messaging. We are not clear with our messaging. And the reason we're not clear is because there's motivations to keep it from being unclear so that people can have points of view that suit their desires and not necessarily reality. Now, I see articles in here. Alyssa Milano and a couple of these other actresses are out there, Bette Midler, and they're out there and they're saying, hey, women should boycott sex with men until Texas repeals this law, right? That's what they're saying, because they're saying, you know what? If women can't have choice to have abortions, then men can't have choice to have sex with women. And that's going to, force people into taking that side. What they're missing there is that for many people, this is a moral decision. This is a decision where they believe it is life, and therefore they don't have a right to take it. They have a responsibility to protect it. What about the baby? Right? As a man, I struggle with, how do I tell my daughter, well, you have to be pregnant. If you got pregnant, that's the way it is. And I think there's two sides to that, and this is what makes it complicated. It comes down to the what about the baby question. There's a responsibility and consequences for our actions. So these women are saying don't have sex with men until the abortion law is taken away in Texas. It's because our society has changed so much from responsibility to convenience. And we message these things so that we don't have to face facts, that it has made it very, very difficult. I also see a bunch of comments out there. Hey, fellas, why don't you go get a vasectomy, which is reversible. And this way you don't get anybody pregnant. And then we don't have to worry about women aborting their babies. Why don't you guys all go get vasectomies? When you're ready to have babies, you can reverse that vasectomy with your partner and have babies. And then women don't have to worry about abortions, and you wouldn't have to worry either. There is an argument to that. I think that's a genuine argument. As a young man, could you go and get a vasectomy, which would prevent you from getting anyone pregnant? And if you do have that chance encounter, with a young lady somewhere. She's not going to get pregnant. There'll be no pregnancy. And then there's no abortion to worry about. You have to be honest and say, well, that is an absolute argument. Is it reversible? It is reversible. It is reversible. So I see that as, some people would say that's a left-wing, nutty concept. But I think it's just like using birth control, right? For guys, don't you have condoms, right? You have condoms for birth control so you don't go spreading your seed around. And for the females, they can take birth control pills, which prevent the pregnancy. All of these are complicated in the light of what you believe. What's your religious beliefs? And this is where, our friends on the left want the messaging to change, because if there's a moral obligation from a religious belief, then we have to get rid of the religious belief so that we can have our own personal decision. And this is the whole diminution of God, right? God is really a myth. The more intelligent you get, the more educated you get, the more enlightened you get, the more you start to realize there is no God. There's no, this is just us. And we're making all these rules based on, 5,000-year-old books written by people that were believing in, the thunder and lightning was the angels bowling, as my mother used to say. That's the angels bowling when I was a little kid. If there is a religious component and you really believe that there is a God, I do, I believe there is a God, then those words are important. Those things God is trying to teach us are important. I don't like all the rules of the church, but I believe that they're legitimate. I just also know that I fail. As a sinner, I fail, and I don't keep up to it. I don't say that the rule isn't good, get rid of the rule, because I don't want to do it. Right? Look, it's simple things, rules we have for every day that are non-religious. Speeding. Well, going through a neighborhood, the speed limit is 25 miles an hour to protect everyone from me, the driver. Well, I don't believe in it. I don't believe that should be the speed limit. And I go 60. Well, do I not have a right to do that? Who could tell me how fast I can go? Right? So there are rules. There are regulations. And the rules and regulations, so to speak, that come from God are meant to help humanity live a better life. And this is where it all gets tied up. This is, and again, that's messaging. So if the messaging is that you have a responsibility to not have sex before you get married and can handle having children, well, does that impinge on somebody's freedoms and their desires? Especially if you're an enlightened person and you don't believe there is a God to tell you you shouldn't have sex before marriage. What the hell? Who can tell me what I want to do? I'm feeling Randy, and I go and find somebody, and we take care of it. Well, there's a reality there, too. Not everybody believes in God. I'm a God believer. I've seen God in my life. I've seen him work. And I also know that I fall short. Doesn't mean that I want to change the rules or do away with God because I fall short. I know that I fall short. But that's my personal beliefs. Everyone has their own set of personal beliefs. So I know I'm going round and round here, but I think in our sessions when we sit here, and that's kind of like what this stuff is, right? When we're talking about funny stuff with the neighborhood guys, that's kind of one thing. But when we're trying to think these things out, these big picture things, it's more like a session, because this is how you think through something. You know, you can't just take one side and say, well, my side is completely right and everybody else is wrong. And then you make your arguments to make your point correct. And that is not being real and genuine and intellectual. For us to get through to these things, we have to define them, understand them, look at the realities from both sides. Is it legitimate in the abortion debate that somebody just does not want to be pregnant and they don't want to have a baby and therefore they want to be able to have an abortion? It is. It's a point of view I don't hold. I'm not saying someone has to stay pregnant. What I'm saying is, what about the baby? There's a responsibility to that baby. Now, granted, men don't have that baby growing inside of them. Women do, and therefore it is a huge burden on them. It is. But there's huge burdens on me as a man as well, based on society, based on my religion, based on how things go, I have responsibilities that are burdensome to me as well. Now, not everyone lives under those same sets of rules, but as the male in the relationship with my wife and my children, I am the provider. That is my responsibility. Now, that might be old-fashioned. Some people would say that's sexist. Some people would say it's whatever. But for my wife and I, this is what we believe. And therefore, it's very burdensome on me to go out and have to make sure that even if I don't like my job, I keep on working. Even if I don't like what I have to do to earn a living so that we can have a house and food and clothing and healthcare and everything else that my family needs and deserves, it's my responsibility to go do that. Now, of course, my wife can go work. She wants to work, she can work. Everybody, you know, this is not some crazy, I am the ruler and that's all there is. No, this is just a framework of what a family means, a traditional family. Now, my wife, Kathleen, she wanted to stay home with the children, right? When we first got together, she was working, I was working. It was great. But she wanted to stay home with the children, and I thought that was a great idea. Why? So that I can be the breadwinner and I'll make the rule. No, because it was what's good for my children to have their mother there all the time, watching over them, teaching them, nurturing them. Right? In the way only a mother can. Right? So that was our choice. And that was based on what we wanted. There was no coercion involved in that. That's what Kathleen believed. That's what I believe. And that's how we raised our family. Now, someone who doesn't believe that, you can go do something else. But the reality is, our beliefs were what we thought was best for our family. When it comes down to making other choices, it's okay. People can make any choices they want. We can love whoever we want to love. Nobody should have a choice in that. Love goes where the heart goes. And I'm a complete believer in that. You love who you love. And you have a relationship and a life with that person, whoever they are. But the reality is, when it comes to that baby, someone has to stand up for that baby if you believe it is a human being, it's alive at conception. And that's where the argument gets tough, and that's where the messaging matters. Ed Koch saw that. And I don't know what his exact purpose was when he came out and he said, hey, listen, I'm pro-abortion, but I also understand the fact that it is a baby from conception. And if the mother doesn't want to have the baby in her body, she has a right to kill her baby. Simple as that. Hard and cold as that. I think the problem with messaging, like I said earlier, is that sometimes if we're completely honest and open and truthful about our messaging, it's difficult to take. It changes the feelings involved with decisions. Right? None of us are killers, really, at heart. None of us are really killers. But if somebody came into your home and threatened your family, and you had to do whatever you had to do, you might end up killing somebody. Now, I think every law everywhere, including our religious laws, make exceptions for when you or your family are in danger and you have to do certain things that are not proper. Killing people is not good. But if they're threatening you and you have to kill someone to protect yourself or your family, that's acceptable, right? Because you didn't cause the problem. You were defending yourself. Well, when it comes to the thing of abortion or not abortion, whether you're religious or not, we have to come to an understanding of whether or not it's a baby and it's alive at conception, or if it's not a baby until it's born and freed from the umbilical cord and breathing on its own, because that would clarify the situation 100%, not to everyone's satisfaction, but it would be clarified in America, in our courts, that our courts have made this decision, people we trust, we vote for, that appoint people, that's our system, whether we like it or not. And they come out and say, hey, a baby is at conception and therefore it's a human being and has rights. Now, everyone has responsibilities. Everyone has responsibilities then. If they say, nope, you could do whatever you want. It is a baby, Ed Koch. It is a baby, but you can kill it if you want because it's your body. Well, people are not going to be happy about that. But if that's the law of the land, that's the law of the land. Now, right now, Roe versus Wade is the controlling law of the land. It is the law of the land. But there are cases that come up because, as they always do in law, there's different points of view, different ideas, different arguments. And we're going to have to go through that because this is a very, very painful, painful part of our lives here in America, trying to decide how we do the right thing or not the right thing. All right, so this is Lieutenant Joe here on Chasing Justice. I'm just trying to work my way through this so I can provide guidance to my children, right? So I can provide guidance to myself. So I understand how I feel, what's right and wrong. And ultimately, I have to deal with my God, and that's me. All right, so we'll be back in a minute when we ask, what does Joe Biden really believe? This is Chasing Justice. We'll be back in a minute.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support, delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
All right, my friends, we're back. This is Chasing Justice, and I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. So, in our first segment, I tried to peel apart the arguments and look at both sides to see if I could understand all the different points of view. And we can't just base everything on religion. I mean, that's how I choose to live my life. But I can't tell someone who doesn't believe that, that they have to base their life on that, right? So what it comes down to is how do we all get along then? How do we all live in the same place if we all have different beliefs systems? It only works if we come to some consensus on what we believe altogether. So on social media the other day, I posed a question on one of the platforms. I said, hey, listen, what is one thing that we all believe in, right? Not what our friends on the right, what our friends on the left believe in. What is something we all believe in? And I said, okay, this is going to be interesting to see what kind of answers we get. What are we actually going to get here on what is it that we all believe? All right. So I got people who couldn't help themselves and they made political comments. Well, Joe Biden is an idiot. We all believe that. Well, obviously, we don't all believe that. Somebody came on and said, life begins at conception. Well, we don't all believe that. Somebody else said, UFOs are real. Well, we don't all believe that. We all have all these different beliefs. What are some things we can all believe? And I thought a good one, too, was we're all Americans. I said, oh, wow, let me think about that for a minute. Well, if you're an American citizen, whether you love America or you hate America, you're still an American. That is true. We all do have that in common. That's one thing I guess we could all agree on. We are all Americans if you're an American citizen. But the answers that kept coming made me realize that what people are doing is you have a belief that you've come to. And you believe your belief is absolutely correct and right. And therefore, you say it. I see this on, you see social media all the time. People come out, when they talk about the vaccine, they come out And their understanding is that the vaccine is perfectly safe, that it is an obligation everyone has to protect themselves and everybody else around them. And if you don't believe in taking the vaccine, you are a hater, you are a conspiracy theorist, you are non-scientific, you are stupid, you hate other people, you don't have concern for anybody. This is all what comes out on that one side of get the vaccine. But there isn't a consideration of the other side. So the consideration of the other side would be, well, the science that we're supposed to be following here is inconsistent. The messaging from the scientists and from the government is all inconsistent. So if the idea is if you take the vaccine, you protect yourself and everybody around you, that would be great if it actually worked. Does it actually work? If you take the vaccine, can you still get COVID? Well, yes, you can. If you take the vaccine, can you still spread COVID? Well, yes, you can. If you had COVID and you now have natural antibodies better than the vaccine, do you still have to take the vaccine so that you can participate in life and the activities of our country? Well, it seems like you do. Does that make any sense? If it prevented everybody from getting it, then you'd say, okay, that's a pretty effective vaccine, like rubella, right? The rubella, the measles, we take that, you do not get it. People don't get it. They don't get it and spread it after they've had the vaccination. But with COVID, you can have the vaccination. You can have your two. Now they want you to have a third one because the first two don't really work as good as they thought. But you got to have the third one. And you have to still wear a mask because you can still get it and you can still spread it. So the people then that say, well, listen, on top of the fact that I don't trust this spike protein mRNA formula that they came up with, just because I don't trust that, it doesn't work 100%. Matter of fact, if I get it, I could still get COVID and I could still pass it around. So what's the sense of having to take it, of making me take something I don't want to take? Now they're saying you got to have a third shot. Will that give me 100%? No, it won't give you 100% immunity. You could probably still get it and you could probably still... Then what is the purpose of taking the vaccine? You have to. And people who are against it are asking a simple question. If this doesn't make any sense, why do I have to take it? Do you not see the logic there? If they could argue on the other side, the pro-vaccine people, that, hey, Lieutenant, get your vaccine and you can't get COVID then. You are safe and you can't spread it to anybody. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. I'll protect myself and protect everybody around me. But, Lieutenant, get the vaccine. Well, I don't want the vaccine because I don't know if I trust it. There are side effects, deadly side effects. Oh, no, that's ridiculous. There's no deadly side effects. Well, there actually really are. But we don't talk about it. We're not allowed to talk about it. There's only one side of the argument. Take the vaccine. Yeah, but it doesn't always work and I can still get it and I can still spread it. Take the vaccine or you cannot participate in life. Well, if I don't take the vaccine, can I still get it? Yes. Can I spread it? Yes. If I don't take it and there's bad side effects to it, will it affect me? Well, no, because you didn't take it. Okay. Now flip the coin. If I take the vaccine, can I still get COVID? Yes. Can I still spread it? Yes. If I take the vaccine, there's bad side effects. Will that affect me? Yes. Forget all of that. Take the vaccine. There's not two sides to the argument. Just like there's not two sides to the abortion argument. There's no conversation that it is a baby. It is life. No, we change it. The messaging. See what I'm saying? The messaging. So President Joe Biden, he comes out the other day talking about the Texas law, and he changes an opinion he's had about life beginning at conception that he's had pretty much his entire adult life, because he's a Catholic, you know. He's a practicing Catholic. He's proud of that. But he changes his opinion the other day, and somebody says, well, you know, life begins. He goes, well, some people believe that life begins at conception, but I don't. Well, here's the difference. I said earlier that I am a religious person. I'm a Catholic. I agree with the tenets of my church. I don't always follow them. Joe Biden claims to be a Catholic, believes in the tenet of the church, up to the point that he doesn't believe that life begins at conception. So he doesn't believe in a tenet of the church. Therefore, he's not really a Catholic. He's some other kind of religion. See, in my case, I believe the tenets of the church. I just either choose not to follow them purposely to my own detriment, or I believe that they're righteous and real, and I make other decisions. I don't say that I don't agree with them. I do agree with them. I'm making other choices, though, in occasions. Joe Biden is saying he does not believe in a tenet of the church. Therefore, he doesn't believe in the religion. So now, Catholics all over the world who are trying really hard to be good Catholics, and this goes for any religion, right? Not just Catholics, but whatever religion you are, if you have a religion, and if you are trying to uphold the tenets of your religion and do what's right and follow your God and what we think is what God wants us to do, if you're doing all of that, it's not easy. It can be a burden on you. It can limit your desires and things you want to do. For the bigger picture, for betterment of the bigger picture is really the idea. That's what religion is all about. Joe Biden, though, on the other hand, is saying that I'm a practicing Catholic. I love my faith. I just disagree with my faith. I don't believe some of the tenets. Well, you're not really. Well, Catholics all over the world who are trying really hard are listening to that messaging, and they turn their heads and they look to Rome and they look to the Pope and they go, okay, you have a high-profile guy here who just said he don't believe in some tenets of the church. Now, what are we supposed to do about that? Ignore it? Or should the church come out and do what's right? If you don't believe the tenets of the church, you get thrown out of the church or any religion. You know, I'm going to be a basket-weaving religious person, but I don't believe in baskets. How long am I going to stay in that church? They're going to throw me out because I don't believe the tenets of the church. Well, here everyone's watching. And the messaging of the church is that you need to follow the rules of the church. You need to believe the Pope, certain dogmatic things. He has absolute vision on. He can say what's right and wrong. And here we have a high-profile person, the President of the United States, who claims to be a Catholic, hangs on to that for political reasons, but now changes a fundamental belief that the Catholic Church holds, that life begins at conception. And abortion is wrong. Well, because he wants to believe that abortion is okay, he changes the messaging. Well, I don't really believe life begins at conception. Therefore, it's okay for me to be pro-abortion. But that's not right. So we turn and we look to the church. Church, here's your chance. What's your messaging? Right? What's your messaging here? Shouldn't that messaging be, well, if you don't believe the tenets of the church, you can't be part of the church, and therefore, bing, out you go. Well, that would be controversial, wouldn't it? That would create political problems. And the reality is, at the level of the Pope is a political figure as well as a religious figure, which is why many people left the Catholic faith and went to other faiths, because they don't believe that the Pope should have that kind of power, and they made their choices. Everybody does. You can choose to go wherever you want religiously. But don't you see how this messaging makes a difference? The messaging makes a difference in what we say and how we say it. And I say it all the time about, you know, Bill Clinton, how he was parsing his words and trying to figure out when he's, depends on what is. Now, that's not a great impression of him. But if you remember, President Bill Clinton got himself in a little trouble, right, in the Oval Office. Depends on what is. If is meant one thing, he was just a dopey guy who did something stupid, right? All right, it was stupid. He shouldn't have done that. If is meant something else, he's someone who did something so bad, he should be removed from the most powerful position on earth, right? It's all in the messaging. And he was parsing his words so that he could control the message, right? And this is what happens every single day. So when I look at the messaging we're hearing coming out of Kabul and the takeover of the Taliban, the messaging that the media had against President Trump, right? He had a phone call He had a phone call with Ukraine where he was trying to coerce them to say things about Joe Biden, and therefore he should be impeached immediately. And they asked him about it. He released the transcripts of the phone call, and he did no such thing. But they tried to change the messaging so that it would change people's minds. Now here, in the case of Joe Biden, we actually have a phone call where he told another world leader that they should change the perceptions of how things are going, even if you have to lie about it, and not a word. Not a word. Isn't that a messaging? What messaging is coming from our media that, first of all, refuses to address that he lied, refused that he got caught in the lie, and that for something that I would say on a scale is 10 times worse than anything Trump said during his phone call, for which he got impeached, there's not even a ripple. There's a few people calling for impeachment on the right, but where is every Republican not standing on the steps of the Capitol, screaming at the top of their lungs, "We will not do another thing in this government until this is addressed"? What messaging is that sending to us? Well, to me, here's the message I get from my Republican friends. Hey, Lieutenant, sit down and shut up. We're doing what we do. Don't worry about how we do things. Your opinion really means nothing. We're going to do what we want to do. That's what it says to me. And I think millions of people feel that way. You know, we see our friends on the left. They stick together. They stick together like nobody's business. They come up with wording and messaging, and then they all repeat it, don't they? Don't you hear the exact same things from our friends on the left all through the media, whatever the talking points are? Trump is a Russian spy. And then you heard that, Russian spy, Trump is a Russian spy. There's evidence to prove Trump is a Russian spy. Trump is a Russian spy. He's a Russian spy. Trump's a Russian spy. There's evidence that Trump's a Russian spy. Six people said Trump is a Russian spy. That became the message, and they all repeated it. Our friends on the right, the reason so many people are more conservative and that are Republican are disgusted with the majority, not all, because some of them are pretty good, of the people on the right is because they're not taking a stand. They're not fighting back. They're simply hoping to hold on to their stuff and hopefully all this blows over and we move along and we get back to just doing what we're doing. So do you feel represented? If you're a Republican, a conservative, do you feel represented by your party? No. Because the messaging we're getting is that we're not worth representing. They're going to do what they do. The hell with what you think. Now we look at President Trump. What was his messaging? He listened to all these people that were upset about the border. All these people that were upset about taxes, and all these people are upset by the economy, and all these people are upset by America being beat over the head all over the world. And he came out and his messaging was, hey, America has to come first. We take care of America first, and then we'll take care of the rest of the world. And people jumped on that bandwagon. Why? Because they felt represented. But of course, that upset the apple cart of all the people who are really there just getting for themselves. And that's on the right and on the left. Right? So we had to get rid of him. So therefore you had Never Trumpers. You had all these people. As a matter of fact, Democrats have people that do such horrible things and they all rally around them. They rally around them. Doesn't matter what they're accused of. They'll either totally ignore it. Their friends in the media will totally ignore it. Hunter Biden, look at this kid. What this guy has done. That laptop proves so many negative things that have been said about him. But, Joe Biden says, there's been a full investigation and there's nothing to it. And they go, there's nothing to it. And that's what they repeat. They repeat it over and over and over again. The media repeats it. The people on the left, it's been investigated. There's nothing to it. Been investigated. Nothing to it. Been investigated. Nothing to it. And they stick to that message. And our friends on the right shrug their shoulders. Oh, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. How about every single Republican stand on the House steps and say, we're not doing another thing in this government until these things are addressed properly. Even if they don't have the numbers to make it happen, they make a stand. What kind of messaging would that be? What kind of messaging would that show, right? So when we look everywhere, there's this messaging. You know, the messaging is what's important, and we get lost in it. We get lost in it because, and I want to believe that most people in our country, left or right, are good people. I know lots of people on the left, I know lots of people on the right, and for the most part, they spout cliches and sayings and sound bites, and they throw them back at you, right? You know, oh, Joe Biden is such an honorable, good, decent man. He's finally doing the right thing. And then you see his personal life and what he actually does business-wise, how he actually deals with things. And he's not that honorable guy. He's been involved in lots of shady things over the years. He had to drop out of the presidential election several times for lying, right? For stealing other people's words. But now that's acceptable. It's acceptable now. We just ignore it. He's an honorable man. That's all there is to it, right? It's our messaging. And that's really what I was focusing on this week. I'm looking at, you know, we left people behind in Afghanistan. We have positive proof that President Biden was offered, you know, you keep Kabul from the Taliban. You hang on to Kabul. We're doing other stuff in the country, taking it over. You take Kabul and we'll move in eventually. And he said, no, we'll take the airport. Well, then they control the streets and our people can't get out. We left people behind. There are American citizens, and I don't care if it's one or 10,000. We left American citizens behind the lines in an Islamic state where they kill us, where they hate us. Men and women are left behind. Women are particularly attacked by the Taliban and their believers, and the ISIS-K, and the Al-Qaeda's, and all these other people that are over there. We left people behind. Now, as the President of the United States, the argument, the messaging is, well, if he had decided to tell them, we're staying for 2 more weeks till we get our people out, that would have been a resurgence of the war, right? We're trying to get out, and that would have been amplifying the war. And that's what some people on the right want to do. They want us to be at war. No. How about we stop worrying about what the Taliban want, and we worry about those American citizens, and we say, you know what? Hey, Taliban, we're getting out of here. We want out of Afghanistan. We're taking all our people with us and our equipment. Now, it's up to you now. If you want to take over the country and do whatever you want to your people that are here, well, that's up to the people to fight back. But we're getting our people out, and that's going to take an additional 2 weeks. And, like President Trump told them, if you lift a finger against us, we'll annihilate you. Gee, that's really harsh, Lieutenant. Annihilate. That's part of the problem. America's threatening everyone. America's going to annihilate people. Oh, my God. Well, you know what? The rest of the world is not America. The rest of the world sometimes only responds to the reality of force. And if you had said that to them, we're staying 2 more weeks. We are sending our troops out into the street to go get our Americans. And we're going to get all our equipment and we're going to get out of there. Then you can do whatever you want to do. But don't do anything to us at all, or you will pay the consequences. See, now that is not being a bully. That is not being an oppressor. That is taking care of yourself first. We didn't go to Afghanistan for no reason. We went there because they allowed terrorists to plan and plot and killed 3,000 American citizens. That's why we went there. Why we were there for 20 years is because we didn't have the stomach or the ability to do what really needed to be done to wipe that out, that ideology out. It would have been brutal. And we're not a brutal people. We don't have the stomach for that. We could fight the war if we have to, but we certainly don't have the stomach to do what needed to be done if we really wanted to wipe that ideology out. We could have done that, but we didn't, because we can't do that, because our conscience wouldn't let us. Now, if it was a middle of a bunch of attacks, of course we would fight very hard. But once that fighting was over, now we were lingering there, trying to prevent these groups from resurging. We were trying to help them, believing that, hey, if everybody had freedom, they'd be good. That's another hard one. That's the messaging, because we're in America and we love freedom and we understand it. Not every culture does. Oh my God, Lieutenant, are you saying that cultures see things differently? Oh my gosh, we're all the same. We are the same. God, you're brutal. You're so terrible that people... You don't think people see things differently? Why didn't freedom and liberty take off there? We were there to make sure they could have elections. They could pick their own people. They could do it. Because that's not the culture that they're in. That's not what they believe in. They don't believe in that. They want to live somehow under this Sharia law, whether it's heavy Sharia law, light Sharia law. Who am I to say? That's their life. They can choose it. The reality is we couldn't make them be America. We couldn't make them be America. And we were there for 20 years trying to help them be America, trying to keep a foothold in the area so that terrorism didn't grow back up. And we were in the middle of a strategic area. But what's our messaging there? I heard the other day they said, oh, Bagram Air Base, we didn't really need that. It's 400 miles from the Chinese border. Who's an enemy of America today? The Chinese. Wouldn't it be nice to have a major military base 400 miles from their border? So we can see and hear what's going on better than doing it from across the sea. Right? The messaging there, though, is we didn't need it. Why? Because they did a horrible, stupid, back-ass plan where they pulled the military out and then left the citizens there. But what's our messaging from our media? Imagine if Trump had left 50 people behind. He'd be impeached, probably over 10 or 12 different things. They'd have 12 different impeachments going. Every Democrat would be online saying it. The news would be repeating it. The stories would be never ending about what he did. And what message did we get here with this debacle? And I don't even want to call it a debacle. Look what happened here. Those thousands of American lives and the countless number of our soldiers who lost limbs, whose lives were shattered trying to do what we needed them to do over there. And we just pull out and Taliban takes over, same as it was 20 years ago. Our terror threat is exactly where it was, if not higher. This is a tragedy and a travesty in American history. And there's not a word. That's the messaging. What do we do? I'm Lieutenant Joe. I'm on the radio talking about it. What else am I doing about it? Nothing. There's nothing I can do about it. I can come on here and I can make my voice known, my opinion known. I can ask the questions. I can ask you to ask the questions. I can ask you to think about things. But what else can we do? We're not those people in power. The people in power, what are they doing? Where's the nightly news briefing? Where's the 50 senators standing on the steps with every Republican congressman? All of them, every single night, giving a press conference, laying out the truth. Where are they? Let's look around. Let's open our eyes. Let's have conversation. Let's care about each other. Let's come to consensus of what we can do as a people, and let's move forward. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. This is Lieutenant Joe Pangaro for Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.